Welcome to the Savory Sweet Podcast, where we introduce the stories of Black food companies, farmers, and restaurants. I'm your host, Tracy Scott, the founder and CEO of Tracy's Gourmet. I created this podcast after 9 years of building and scaling my company, winning business pitch events, participating in business accelerators, selling at local and international trade shows, and having my products carried in Whole Foods Market and other specialty food stores. Now, I am highlighting the culinary genius, business success, and growth of Black food companies, farmers, and restaurants.
Today, I have the opportunity to speak with the founders and CEOs of Jerkman Island Cuisine Food Truck in Raleigh, North Carolina, Mr. and Mrs. Ewing. Welcome to the Savory Sweet Podcast. How are you?
Yes, ma'am. I'm fine. Thank you.
I'm fine. Thank you. It's so good to speak with both of you today. And I have seen you around the Triangle. I know how popular you are. Your food is amazing. I'm very well versed in the island cuisine, as we've discussed, you know, having been born in Brooklyn. Very, very familiar with West Indian Caribbean food. So trust me when I tell you I love your food. My first question for you today is, what made you start your own food business?
Passionate about cooking.
And where did that passion come from, Mr. Ewing?
From the islands as a child. From my childhood, growing up in the islands.
Who taught you how to cook? Your mother or your father?
My mother.
Okay. How old were you when you first learned how to cook? And was it just you, or did you learn how to cook with siblings?
Well, it was like 7 siblings. I was like 9 years old. Like, and then, you know, in the islands, I was the third of the 7 of us. And then the elder one always responsible to take care of the younger one. So while my mother go to the market and stuff, I have to be home cooking. So my younger brothers and sisters could have breakfast, lunch, and dinner to eat.
Now, in the islands, did you have a family food business, or was cooking just something that you and your family loved to do?
No, we never have no family food business. It's, cooking is just like, we have to cook to eat in the house, because around here is no McDonald's, like KFC and Burger King and stuff, like fast food. We don't have a lot of fast food, and even if we have fast food, we don't have the money to go buy it. So we cultivate our own food and we cook our own food, home-cooked meal 3 times a day.
Oh, wow, every day.
Yeah, every day, yeah. Because that's how we eat, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We got to cook.
Okay. Now, a food truck is quite different from a restaurant. Why did you choose to start a food truck business?
I really wanted was to start out doing a brick and mortar restaurant, but unfortunately the finances wasn't there like that. So after seeing other entrepreneur start a food truck business, I said, maybe this is the easiest way to start and this is the best way to start. And I just make a shot at it. You know, one day we was going out, we saw this food truck, me and my wife, we make a U-turn and go look at it, and the guy decided to sell it to us, and I decided to get it, and that's how we start.
Can you explain that process of when you see a food truck? Are you seeing these food trucks just locally? Are you seeing them online? What's that process like when it comes to purchasing or finding a food truck to purchase?
Well, I mean, with me having a passion to cook, and then I see the food truck, and but it's mostly in the down south is a lot of Mexicans. So Mexican own a lot of these food trucks. So I see the route that they're taking, so I'll be like, Maybe that I could take that route too, you know, so start out until I can get a brick and mortar. So the process was like, there was another guy which was a deacon in a church. He had like two of them park in his yard. He getting older and not doing nothing with them. So I decided to go ask him to sell me one. And he decided to sell me one, and there you go.
And you have been in business for how long, Mr. Ewing?
A little bit over 3 years, going on 4 years.
And you all have been very popular. I mean, I know I've seen your food truck at quite a few events. But let me ask you, how do you decide which events to attend? Because I know you have a lot of options. But how do you choose which ones to attend and which ones not to attend?
Well, I mean, I go off my gut instinct, you know? When we just start out, I got some very bad experience about going out in the nighttime, like to events and stuff, because it could be a situation where you're there sitting down waiting, for people to come by, and then people just, after the party over, the club over, wherever we at is over, they just go home, because at that time of the night now, people don't want so much of a want to eat such heavy food. They want like light food. So, you know, we just decide, okay, we're not going to do the night event. You know, we mostly do the day event. Something. Some of them work, some of them work out, some of them doesn't work out. So, I just go with my gut instinct, you know. 90% of the time, I'm right.
I know that before our interview, I was speaking with you and Mrs. Ewing, and I know, Mrs. Ewing, you said that you all have a selection of places where you can go, but how do you choose or how do you decide what events to attend?
I listen to her, you know, whichever one she decide, yeah, babe, we should go, this one we shouldn't go, then, you know, I just follow her lead, you know.
Because
I know she make a lot of good choices.
Clearly.
A lot of good decisions.
Well.
Huh?
I said clearly, because you all are doing very well.
Oh, yes, ma'am, we try, you know, and I mean, whatever we do our best, you know, so... we just do our best and let God handle the rest. That's what I'm saying. So, yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yes, ma'am.
So let me ask you, your menu. How did you create your menu? Was it from based on traditional island cuisine? Was there something else you did that was different? What inspires your menu? I know it is based on the Caribbean culture, but what else has inspired your menu?
What inspired my menu is, you know, my wife, she's a very good cook, to remember, because she's the one cook like the American part of it, which is the collard greens and the mac and cheese and the candy ends and stuff like that, fried chicken and stuff like that. So we just combine them together with what she do her best, with what I do my best. So, you know, it just come along together, you know what I mean? And then we follow what the fans like, you know? We do like what the fans like. Fans overall, they like Jamaican food. So I just do my best cooking Jamaican food. I see her fans are like American food. She just do her best cook American food. That's the best way I can put it. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Maybe there's a better way, but that's how I can put it, huh?
If I could just interject, Tracy, what he said is absolutely right. I just believe that what sets us aside from a lot of other businesses is the fact that what I do doesn't take away from his culture. What he does doesn't take away from my culture. We've brought two different cultures together. And it's a, if you would, it's a sort of mimic of our marriage. We're two different cultures.
That's beautiful.
And so he brings what he's known to do from his childhood to the table. I bring what I've known to do from childhood to the tape. I've been cooking since I was young as well. Same thing, how he watched his mom, I watched my grandmother. And so my grandmother's Southern. She was from Geechee, South Carolina, Darlington. So my grandmother was, she owned 2-3 restaurants growing up. So cooking was not something I wanted to do. Not something I was in love with, but I'm in love with my husband, and it's what he wanted to do. So that's why I decided to bring what I knew naturally on board to be a support. So what sets us aside, how we decide our menu, is the fact that people love Jamaican food. They love Caribbean food, but we also understand that 80% of our customers are American. You understand? So I know from being an American that Americans like collard greens, yeah, we like the mac and cheese. You know, that's our national anthem. And you laugh in case you didn't know, right?
This I is, absolutely know.
You know, I'm now Jamaica,
South Carolina.
Yeah, it's our national anthem, right? So you got on one end, you got on one end, you got them screaming, I want some oxtail. Like, you know, they love the way, you know, everything my husband cooks is good, but you know, one end is screaming, I want some oxtails. And then on the other end is screaming, you got that mac and cheese? You got some collard greens? So it's exciting to see a husband and a wife who are from two different cultures. You know, I heard Denzel Washington say something earlier in an interview, and I thought it was profound. If I can interject or just kind of put that in this interview, they asked him a question about whether I think a director should be white or black over a specific type of movie, or why would they need to be black, or what made the difference. And he responded with something that I thought was so intellectual. He said, it's not about being black or white. So it's not about my husband being Jamaican, me being American. What he said, but it's about the culture. You know, we can relate.
Absolutely.
And so we brought what we both relate to the table of in a country that's American, that does have West Indians who live here and of the like, and they both interchangeably like what it is that we have both been culturally raised to do. And so I would like to believe that that's what sets us aside. We are not in competition with no one, and we don't want to be in competition with anyone. We just let God be our head, and that's it. We don't have to walk around with a Christian sign on our back, but he is the head of what we do. And so that's how we make our selections. That's we watch, we learn, we educate, and we listen to our people. We listen to our customers, because I handle all of the back office, so I'll read a lot of the reviews. You know, we hear, if they have complaints, we hear, you know, same way. All of this is a part of growth, whether if they have a complaint about something or whether they want to compliment us about something. It's all a part of the growth of the business. It is, along with how God has guided our footsteps, what has made Jerkman Island Cuisine what it is today. You know, and I'm very proud of my husband, because in starting this business, you know, it was very difficult to find help, you know, and, you know, not getting too deep into it, but when we started this business, which is something he wanted to do, you know, he thought certain people would help him, and they backed out of it. And, you know, and I told my husband, listen, we're going to do this. We had no idea how, you know, one day in a longer interview, you really understand the story of the humble beginnings of that truck. We call her Betsy. You know, it's an amazing story. And that was full of faith, you know, and it could have been very discouraging, but we took every lesson and, you know, we used it to build. We use it to build the business. All mistakes,
you know, because we didn't know. You know, we're out there shopping for stuff. We didn't know really what to shop for. I mean, we both knew how to cook, but we weren't in the business. You know, and so my major job, Tracy, is supporting my husband. I do a lot in the business, but that's my overall goal, is to make sure that his vision comes to pass and that we together as a family build a business that serves the people. We love our customers. Awesome. You know, good, bad, or indifferent. You know, it's all a part of life. You know, we listen, and we listen to their concerns.
You talked about challenges and you talked about Betsy. Has that been, or the purchase of the food truck, has that been the greatest challenge you faced as a food entrepreneur, or has there been something else that was your greatest challenge?
Well, I'm going to let my husband talk about what his greatest, but for me, standing by his side in the beginning, I would say the very in the initial part of it, in the beginning part, Betsy was a challenge in the beginning part because, you know, my husband, you know, he invested what he had, you know, into a vehicle that, you know, just wasn't delivering at first. And what could have seemed so discouraging, I watched him, you know, and I'm just going to keep it real because I'm a realist. And I've watched people tell him he should shut it down or close it up or it doesn't like it's going to work or, you know. And, you know, Tracy, I couldn't do that. You know what I mean? I didn't care if he bought a box. If he thinks he can work with his wheels on it, well, let's push it. Let's get it moved. And that's the kind of faith that he has. So he named her Betsy. She's a 1985 truck. But that truck has been good to him. And she's still kicking today. And so my husband believes in it. And he took something that somebody else probably would have left in that yard. Mm-hmm. And he put his heart and his soul into it. And it's been good to us. It carried us. And so we've created 3-4 other trailers out of that. Just from that one truck that many try to put in his ear. It's not worth it. You know, humble beginnings of starting a business, as I stated, there have been times where we've done jobs where we hardly saw a dime in that day. It can be very discouraging. You're hitting up 2 and 3 different places and you don't really, you know, because you don't really know the business and you don't really understand and you hear a lot of stories, but you don't really know it until you get out there. And it's not all of what people says it. It's really about the faith and being consistent with what you believe. You know, whether it produces in the now and believing, you know, that it will produce in the later. You know, my husband has, you know, he has his other challenges that he's faced, and we've had our other challenges that we've faced as a family. But I would say in the beginning, you know, it was a lot to believe in something that you basically was handed a blank page and you had to create the story yourself.
Right.
You know, and you know how to say, you know, a lot of people, cause, you know, for whatever reason, you know, people don't have your faith. Mm-hmm. And so that's why it's so important when you go into business to make sure that you couple yourself with others who are like-minded, right. You know, who can see the vision along with you.
So let me ask you, because I know you and Mr. Ewing are fully invested in this business, but who else makes up your team?
Well, we have my daughter Abigail. She's a part of our team. You know, my cousin Shatima. She's a part of the team. We have another individual, great guy named Jermaine. He's a part of our team. And another awesome young lady, her name is Cherie. She's on our team as well. And we have potentials who are, you know, looking to come aboard as we transition into our next chapter into the Wake Forest Ghost Kitchen. So, and we have Pops. Pops is, he's been with us a while. Pops, he cleans our chicken. Awesome. He's Jamaican. Beautiful man. Beautiful. And so, he's been with us the longest, besides my daughter. So we have a great team. Now, we got a lot of, you know, revolving doors, you know, because that's just how business is, especially restaurant business.
I just got to say one thing, too. Now, you know, the fans, the customers, I mean, they are a big part of my motivation, because, I mean, they encourage me so much and they support me so much that I always trying to be there for them. Even sometimes I say, let me close the business for 2 days. I mean, it's hard for me because I'm thinking about them. When they come and they don't see me, I know they feel very disappointed. So I always, you know, the money is a part of it, but it's not all about the money. It's about, I mean, the customers. It's about the fans, you know what I mean? They like what I'm doing. They love my food. And I mean, I'm excited about that. So I always try to be there to support them and to make sure, you know, they get what they require. You know what I'm saying?
For centuries, Black people have cultivated the land that has grown some of the world's most famous recipes, foods, and drinks. The mission of Savory Sweet is to give global exposure to the founders and CEOs of these companies and their stories so that we can savor the land, foods, and drinks they create.